Hello, everybody. I think I've got a couple of minutes before I'm set to start, but I'm going to start early because sometimes I speak long. Everybody, can you hear me okay? Okay, good. Okay, my name is Adam Adamu. I'm the CEO of Overactive Media. We are in the business of esports, and if you don't know what that is, you're going to know more about esports than you've ever wanted to know by the end of this 30-minute talk. But first of all, let me just start with where I'm going to finish today, okay? I don't want to keep you guys in suspense. Here's the bottom line for where we are. Our revenue is soaring. We're going to grow to about $25 million this year in revenue. That's up from $15 million last year. It's about 70% year over year. And with all of that done, we've got one of the strongest balance sheets in the industry. I've got about $9 million in cash. I've got $11 million in net working capital. I've got virtually no debt, no liabilities even. Okay, I'll explain to you that as well. We have negotiated access to digital online stores. Think about app stores for the biggest video games in the world. Okay, and we can sell our items on these stores and keep the revenue at about 100% gross margin. Okay. And that is one of the big transitions that has happened to our business between 23 and 24 that is driving our revenue up. And it is a big and clear path to profitability for our business in 2025. I'm going to be profitable in the back half of 2024, so the 6 months since June, and I'm going to be profitable in 2025. We've turned that corner, okay? And we've also been an industry consolidator. I've made 5 acquisitions in the last 6 years. In our business to establish it and put it to where it is right now. And I've got monetizable assets on my balance sheet that are worth money, okay, that is not reflected anywhere. In fact, my market cap is below my book value of my monetizable assets right now, okay, not including the $11 million that I have in net working capital. That's the state of the market, that's the state of the economy. I don't say that to complain. I say that by means of there's an opportunity here. But let me begin with some of the jargon in our industry, because this is a new industry. Many of you may not have heard a lot about it, and I drop a lot of names and words that maybe are not comprehensible to many of you. So I'm going to go through the jargon right now so we can at least all be speaking the same language. Okay? A publisher is usually the developer of a game that partners with somebody that actually helps them to sell the game. So think Electronic Arts, Activision, Ubisoft, Riot. Those guys are all publishers. They own the intellectual property around a game. And when I'm talking about a game, especially in Canada, almost everybody thinks I'm talking about betting. Okay, we're a gaming company, but we're not a betting company. We're about video games. Okay? So when I talk about games, I'm talking about video games, not betting. Okay? You can bet on our video games, but that's not what I do. Okay? A digital store, most of the games that we are involved in, the video games, okay, are free to play. League of Legends, Valorant, Counter-Strike, all of these games you can download and play for free, okay? And the publisher makes money by selling you items, often called skins, okay, on their digital store. So you go to their store and you buy something for your character in the game, and that's how they make their money, billions and billions of dollars, okay? Because the game is free. So that is the third component. Now, a league is It's an organization, think about it like NFL, NBA, NHL, right, where you have professional sports teams playing baseball or basketball or football, okay? In the video game industry, you have leagues where you have professional players playing video games, okay? And the leagues are structured just like traditional sports, and you have professional players, and you have sports psychologists and all of the rest of the stuff that you have in traditional sports, except instead of kicking a ball around on a field, they're kicking a ball around in a game, okay? An organization is what we are. An organization, sometimes called an org in the esports industry, that is an organization that owns a bunch of teams in different leagues that play video games, okay? And a franchise, just like, you know, the Raptors or the Vancouver Canucks, okay, is a special kind of a legal structure that is put together between us, the organization, the league, and the publisher that gives us certain rights around that game. It's just like a traditional sports franchise, okay? And that means that you can't just come in and start playing the video game professionally unless you have a franchise, which eliminates a bunch of the competition because I don't have to worry about everybody coming in and competing with me. I only have to kind of deal with the people that have franchises like I do. I can also sell a franchise. A co-streamer is one of the innovations that we helped to establish this year, okay? In the traditional, you know, universe of sports, you have a media right where you basically pay for the right to broadcast the game and everybody has to watch your stream. That's how you make money if you're the broadcaster, okay? In esports, what has happened is you do have that stream still, okay? But what they've allowed is they've allowed co-streamers, and that means an influencer or some other famous person, usually it's kind of an online celebrity, who also broadcasts that game on their channel, okay? And you can watch either the league channel or you can watch their channel, okay? And that is advantageous to us because I want to drive our fans to watch our channel where they can see our sponsors, okay? And every single one of our games has a co-streamer that broadcasts that game alongside the main league broadcast. And in most of those cases, there are more people watching our broadcast than are watching the league. Okay? That means they're watching our teams on our channels all the time. The audience is everybody that is watching the game. Okay? And the fans are the guys that are connected to my team. Okay? Right now, we've got 100 million fans that are connected to our team. Okay, the audience for esports is probably a billion, maybe more, right? A sponsor is a brand like Pepsi, like Bell, like AMD that wants to advertise to our fans, okay, and pays us for it. So they come up, they give me money, and then I broadcast their messages on my channels, okay? And MTX is a short for merchandise, okay? MTX is what it's called in esports terms. MTX is what you sell in the digital store. So this is not a physical product, okay? This is a digital skin, okay? Think about it like a baseball hat. You might have like a Vancouver Canucks hat in the real world. In a video game, you have a digital version of that that has my logo on it, and you pay me for it instead, okay? And then you walk around in the game, and everybody thinks that you're cool because you got a Mad Lions hat on, okay? So that is esports. That is what we do, okay? And there's probably nobody else that is doing that here at this conference, okay? We are a global esports company for today's generation of fans. Today's generation of fans, our audience of about 100 million, like I was talking about, roughly average age of about 23 to 25, depending on the game. So we have 100 million fans, average age 23 to 25. Major League Baseball's average age is about 60, okay? So we've got today's youth following our teams. We're a global company, so we're based in Toronto. We've got offices in Madrid, our European headquarters. We're in Barcelona, we're in Berlin, okay? And so what we do as a business is pretty simple. We create exceptional teams in the most exclusive professional leagues. In traditional sports terms, this would be like me having an NBA, an NHL, a Major League Baseball, and whatever the fourth one is that I forgot, okay? So all four of the major leagues, we've got franchises in each one of those. It is expensive to create really good teams in all of the most expensive leagues. Okay, so that creates some overhead that you've got to overcome, okay? And then what we do is we partner with influencers. So think of these guys as like streamers that are connected to our teams that love our games, okay, that co-stream and broadcast our games to their audience, okay? We partner with them to build a really big audience of people that follow our teams, and then they become passionate about our brands, okay? They love what we do. They love our players. They love our influencers. And so that creates a consumer channel reaching hundreds of millions of fans that I can reach and sell stuff to, okay? And then we take that and we sell it to sponsors who pay us money to broadcast on our channels, and then we sell these digital skins on the stores that the publisher opens up and pays all of the costs for, and I sell my stuff on there and I get to keep the money. So that's what we do. These are the biggest games in the world, in the esports world, okay? So biggest publishers are Activision Blizzard, which was acquired by Microsoft for like $79 billion a while back, okay? Riot Games is owned by Tencent, a trillion-dollar Chinese company. Valve is secretive because they're private, but they're probably the most profitable company in the world per person, okay? And the top four games here are the most valuable esports games in the world. League of Legends, by far, the biggest, okay? Global game that is owned by Riot. We actually played this morning in the World Championship. Our team, I was up at 4:30 in the morning because our match started at 5 o'clock here, and we beat the Vietnamese team 2-0, and there was 1.5 million people watching it, okay? Most of them watching it on our stream again, okay? So those top four are the biggest games in the world, and they're big because they have the biggest audience and they also have the biggest stores, right? They're smaller games. Rocket League, for example, is a video game that is pretty popular, but there's not enough people that are playing it to really drive a lot of online sales, okay? So those four games are the biggest ones. You can see we've got a check on all of them. And there's other teams out there, some that own everything and some that own less. The less of these that you own, the less of an esports company that you are. You're something else, but you're not an esports company. And we are, in my view, the only pure play esports company that is publicly listed in the world. And so our business model has evolved over the last couple of years. We went public in 2021, euphoria of 2021, okay? And we have seen transitions. This is a new industry, we had to figure it out. And we have actually worked with the publishers over the last 2 years, myself and the rest of our team, negotiating with these multi-billion dollar companies to fix the esports ecosystem in a way that works better for all of us, okay? And so our business model has evolved to be pretty simple, okay? We want to cover all of our costs. I've got about $25 million, maybe $30 million in total costs. That's everything that I spend my money on, public listing fees and everything else that I got to basically pay, audits, you know, that kind of stuff, about $25 to $30 million in costs. I want to cover all of that through sponsors. I want Bell. I want AMD. I want Telefonica. All of these guys, I want to get to that level where all of my costs are covered by them, okay? Not there yet, but I'm getting close, okay? Once I get there, then all of those digital things that I sell on the stores, right, all of those stores that I talked about, the MTX, okay, 100% gross margin, I could increase that by 100 times and it won't cost me another penny, okay? That is my profit. That's what I'm targeting for my profit. And that's the path that we're on right now, okay? Like I said, last 6 months of 2024, I'm profitable, and I'm profitable in 25. That means this is coming together, okay, and I'm over that hump of those fixed costs that I need to have by running all of these teams, okay? And the model works because I own the channel to the fans, okay? And this is kind of a key thing, especially if you're in the consumer product business. Like, owning the channel is very important because it puts you in front of eyeballs, okay? And what we have is we have 100 million eyeballs that are watching our channels, and that means I can reach them with a message without having to pay anybody else. Like, if you want to go to Google Ads, if you want to go to X, if you want to go to Instagram, you can pay an advertising fee and get your product message in front of them. The kids will all block it and ignore it, okay? But they are actively watching my channels, and these brands want to reach those kids, okay? And I own that because I don't have to pay anybody to reach them. I just reach them, okay? That's an incredibly valuable asset. And we own the channel by doing a whole bunch of stuff, right? So first of all, we've got influencers, we've got teams, we've got the league partners. All of these things are moments in time where everybody watches our stuff, our products, our shows, our content, our teams, okay? And then what we do is we use the established platform infrastructure of YouTube, Twitch, Instagram, all of these guys. In fact, both YouTube and Twitch are losing money, okay? They have incredibly expensive infrastructure that they've put together to reach the audience. And what I do is I use their platforms to reach my audience, and instead of me paying them, they pay me. Okay, they pay me for the audience that I help to drive to them, and I can reach my audience without having to pay a penny because Google and Amazon and Meta are paying for it instead. Wonderful model, okay? And because of that, I can sustain really high gross margins once I hit my overhead, right? That $25 million that I was talking. Once I get there, the incremental revenues are really, really good, okay? And most competitors, other guys that talk about influencers and that kind of stuff, they don't own that channel. They're actually probably paying somebody else to reach the audience, right? And so their margins are pretty low. Our margins are really high because we own the audience. And we do that by doing a whole bunch of things, right? So first of all, here is a bunch of our co-streamers. Co-streaming is really central to what I do, right? And the reason co-streaming is important to what I do, remember, that is a team is playing, and instead of watching the lead channel, you're watching our channel, okay? So right here, this is Sergio Ferra. He's one of our guys. He's broadcasting a Valorant game. Okay, that's our channel, okay? He's our influencer, okay? He's connected with us. What I do for him is I let him do that broadcast, okay? I have a franchise in the Valorant Champions Tour. You cannot co-stream unless you have a partnership with the publisher, which is Riot, or otherwise Riot will bring you down, okay? They'll do like they'll just basically bring you down for a copyright infringement. I can add a co-streamer. I let him co-stream the game. He can get paid by YouTube or Twitch for the viewership, okay? But I get to put my sponsors on his channel, okay? And we do that for every game that I have, okay? Over on the top right, that's 1.4 million views. That's League of Legends. That's eBay, okay? This guy is actually streaming Pokemon competitively. He's got 50,000 people watching his channel. The League channel has 500 people. My channel has 50,000, okay? My branding is all over that, okay? And we do that every day to drive the viewership to our channel, to drive the sponsors, and to drive the audience engagement. And so what that does is it leads to this viewership that we have, 100 million fans worldwide, okay? Now, that's a really big number, okay? And so what does that mean? Is that real? Is it BS? Lots of people talk about big numbers, okay? That number is the number of people that I can reach without having to pay anybody else for it, okay? So those are the subscribers on YouTube, on Twitch, on Instagram, on Meta, through our influencers. It's only a number if I have an agreement with the influencer to use their channel to reach the audience for nothing, okay? If I have a partnership like that, then you are a fan of mine, and I own you, okay? If I don't, then you're owned by somebody else. We have 100 million fans like that, okay? And so if you have 100 million fans, that is a lot of people, okay? You should have record-breaking viewership, okay? Our teams are the most watched games in the Western world, okay? Our merchandise, those skins for Call of Duty, for example, is the best-selling digital merchandise in the Call of Duty League in every country in the world. Every country in the world, best-selling skin is Toronto Ultra, okay? We're big in multiple regions because 100 million is more than one country can sustain, okay? So we're really big in Europe. We're really big in North America. We're really big throughout Latin America. We haven't expanded out into Asia yet. And we have the highest engagement of any team in the esports world, okay? Now, let me just kind of show you a little bit here about why our model works so well. This is a JP Morgan study for the top viewership, average viewership on Twitch, okay? The number one guy there is a guy by the name of Ebi Llanos. Ebi Llanos is one of our guys, okay? So he is a shareholder of Overactive Media. We acquired his company earlier this year. I wanted to get a Valorant franchise. That's one of the big four that I wanted. He had one. I didn't. So we acquired his franchise, and I gave him the ability to co-stream League of Legends, which is his passion, okay? And so he's number one. The next guy is about 50% smaller in terms of average viewership. And then Kai Sennett is one-third of Ebi. Ebi is really big, okay? Average viewership of 336,000 people every minute that he is on, okay? But look at the second column. He increased by 479% since partnering with us. His channel went from number four to number one, 479% growth, okay? He keeps that money, okay? He has a deal with Twitch. They pay him money for his viewership, okay? The more his viewership, the more he gets paid. Ebi, good luck to you. You've gone by 479%. He makes millions of dollars off of that personally, okay? But I get to have him as a co-streamer, and I get to monetize all of his sponsors, okay? So it's a good deal for him, and it's a good deal for us. And that means that I don't have to pay him myself. Some of these streamers are doing like $100 million deals, right? I can get them, offer them the co-stream, drive their viewership up, and I don't have to pay them anything. So 100 million people also means that you should be number one in esports for total engagement. That's us, okay? We had nearly 200 million engagements across our channels in the first quarter alone, okay? We're the leaders in peak viewership. People come in, watch our games, and when our game is over, they leave, okay? Because they want to watch our teams. And then we have these co-streaming partnerships for every game. Just a couple of things here. So this is League of Legends, okay? Biggest esport in the world. Top five viewership in our league. These are the top five most watched games of the year. Number one, that's MAD. You can see my logo over here. Our team is MAD. Number one, MAD versus G2. Number two, MAD versus KC. Number four, MAD versus SK. Three of the top five games are our team playing. Okay? This is the World Championship. Again, this is the single biggest tournament in esports, is the League of Legends World Championship. These are the teams that are playing right now in the play-ins, Worlds 2024. You can see the biggest viewership of any of those teams is MAD right at the very top there, 2.293 million. The next guy is 1.8 million. That's a team from Taiwan. And because of that viewership, all of these guys want to pay me to partner with us. Okay? There's 19 partners right here. I've actually got 21 right now. We added Pepsi, I think, yesterday, and somebody else out there. These guys pay us anywhere between $50,000 and almost $3 million per year, okay, to reach our fans. Okay? I'm not there yet. This is millions of dollars in revenue right now. I want to get this up to the point where it's about $25 million, at which point all of my costs are covered by them, and I'm left with the profit, which is these online game stores. Okay? This is the Toronto Ultra skin right here that I was mentioning. Okay, so you can go to the store and you can buy that, add it to your cart, Ultra Team Pack, $15.99. You buy that, I get a piece of it. As I'm doing this talk, I'm probably selling some skins and our bank account is kind of filling up. Okay, I'm going to move a little quicker through here because I think you guys want to see the numbers. Okay, so this is our revenue and our kind of operating costs over the last couple of years. Second quarter, we reported 71% year-over-year revenue growth. Okay, revenues are about $15 million. You can see that kind of nut that I got to kind of crack over there. I'm kind of moving up. A little bit of an increase in cost in 2024 because this is the first year that I've got access to those online stores, and I had to invest to kind of build those out. I also made that acquisition of that Valorant team that I mentioned. Okay. But by the time I get to this $30 million, okay, all of the incremental revenue is going to my bottom line. You can see that this bar for 24 is about the same size as the bar for 25, even though my revenues are basically moving higher. And that's why we're going to basically cross that bridge, and then incremental revenue all falls to the bottom line. Do want to touch a little bit on our balance sheet, okay? I've got $20 million in current assets. That's cash of about $9 million, receivables of about $11 million. Okay, and then I've got current liabilities of $9 million. So that makes net working capital of about $11 million. Okay, to the good for us. Okay, and then once you get rid of that, the only liability that I have is $6.5 million here, which is a deferred tax liability that I'm taxed over the many years that I'm profitable in the future. So it's not really a payable, right? And then I've got this LEC franchise fee. I still owe $1.5 million for my LEC franchise that I need to pay in 2026. Okay, but what does that mean? Well, 9 months ago, somebody bought an LEC franchise for $35 million, okay? In fact, there's been three transactions in that league in the last 2.5 years where they paid $35 million for an LEC franchise, okay? That's the one with the lion. That's our top views, okay? So we're the best one of those, okay? And three transactions have been done, average price of $35 million over the last 2.5 years, okay? That's what I owe $1.5 million for, okay? That's what I have left. Okay, but I own the whole thing, okay? And then I also own franchises in Call of Duty, Valorant, and the rest of them. I'm going to go to the bottom line. This is basically our acquisition strategy. I've made a bunch of acquisitions, and I don't owe any money for them, okay? So a lot of guys make acquisitions, and they've got debt, balloon payments, convertible debentures. I've got none of that. I've paid for them. They're fully funded. I've got no debt, and they were all accretive. Okay, I'm going to go to this. This is a travesty of our markets right now, okay? My market cap is $26 million, okay? I have an asset that is worth $35 million alone, and I've got $11 million in cash, and I'm trending to profitability, okay? Profitable for 25, last half of 24, okay? I've got committed shareholders for about half of my base. Shareholders include Bell, Telefonica, Montreal Canadiens, I've got billionaire families. Like, we've got a really, really good list of long-term holders, okay? And it is what it is. I don't say that by way of complaining. Our market cap, 2021, when we went public, was over $240 million, okay? Had a fraction of what I had then, but I had everybody's enthusiasm, okay? And today we're kind of turning the corner and I've got a lack of enthusiasm, but it's going to meet somewhere in the middle over the next few years, maybe soon. I saw 200,000 shares traded today and our stock is up, so maybe this conference is helping. Anyway, that's it for me. I don't know if there's any questions. I think I've covered all of the things that I said I was going to cover at the beginning. And yeah, look us up. Babak is at the back here. He handles a lot of our IR stuff. If you want to have a call or a meeting, you know, happy to do that as well.